Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome once again to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Our show features playmakers who are successful CEOs, successful business owners, and successful executives. Today, I have the pleasure of discussing probiotics and yogurt with the founder of one of the most loved national restaurant brands. And we're also going to talk about money and which bank is having a huge increase in deposits. These great playmakers are in the studio today. The first is Dan Kim. He is the founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango. And we also have Malcolm Holland, CEO and president of Veritex Bank. And we're going to begin today's show with Malcolm. He, as I said, is the chairman of the board. He is CEO and president of Veritex Community Bank and Veritex Holdings. He began his banking career in 1982 at First City Bank as a credit analyst and commercial lender. He then moved to Capital Bank in 1984 as vice president of commercial lending. In September 85, he became executive vice president of East Park National Bank, which was sold to Fidelity Bank in February 95. In February 1998, Fidelity Bank was sold to Compass Bank, where he served as senior vice president, head of business banking. In July 2000, Malcolm accepted the job of president of First Mercantile Bank. In March 2002, Colonial Bank acquired First Mercantile Bank, and Malcolm was appointed to CEO of the Texas region of Colonial Bank in March of 2003. Then, in October 2009, Malcolm formed Veritex Holdings Incorporated and subsequently purchased his first bank in September 2010. Veritex has purchased a total of three banks and has 10 branches with approximately $600 million in assets. Malcolm, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
If I can do this right, komo mai?
Komo mai. Aloha.
How does a Hawaiian get into banking with all that?
it's a long way, but it's a pretty short distance for my story anyway. My dad got into the service and was stationed out in Hawaii in 1958. And never left. But the history behind that is mom and dad are both from Texas. And so dad grew up in Dallas. And when it was time to go to school, he said, I've got one place that I'll pay for, and that's SMU. And didn't really want to go at the time, but hindsight being 20/20, it worked out pretty well. So that's how a Hawaiian got to Dallas.
So you grew up on Oahu?
Born and raised.
And you didn't get here till 1978. So being in the mainland was a little bit different for you, especially Texas?
Let's just say that was a massive culture shock from wearing my Aloha shirts and my slippers to the first several months of school at SMU until it got to be about 30 degrees and I had to don some other wear.
So had you decided about banking prior to getting to SMU, or did that happen during your time at SMU?
It probably happened about the time when I was getting out of SMU. My dad had some history in the banking, and actually, the only piece of advice, work advice my dad gave me was, don't get into banking. Try something else. And so I did as most 21-year-olds do. I did take his advice, and I didn't take his advice and went down the banking route. And he had a friend, and I got a job, and I was getting married, and so I needed a job, and so that's where I ended up.
Well, apparently you were doing something right. As we were talking earlier, I don't think I counted all the names of the banks that I read at the opening, but there are 10 or 12 different banks or mergers or acquisitions. Sometimes you lose jobs when that happens. So apparently you were doing the right thing as you were working there.
Yeah, I mean, we did. We had several sales. I usually ended up staying with the bank that was acquired. I'm a fairly loyal guy by nature, and so I tried to find a way to make it work. But as they sell, things change. I think I've only changed my job three times, but the name on the card has changed 10 or 12 times.
Well, I guess the banks have kept the printing business in business.
Yep. Signed business loves banks.
You started Veritex about 2009. What caused you to decide that you wanted to have your own bank and be in business for yourself?
I was fortunate to run Colonial Banks, Texas, and at the time that was a super regional bank, and Colonial ran into some trouble in late 09 through a huge mortgage fraud out of the Orlando area, and ended up closing the bank. And so when they did, you know, BB&T came in and bought the bank. BB&T is a fine bank, a top 10 in the country, but it's a very, very large institution. And so when they came in, I gave it a little bit of time, but I knew quickly that that wasn't where I was going to be most comfortable, where I could use my gifts that I think that I have. And so I had a discussion with one of the guys from BB&T, and he came in and he was selling me to try to stay with them and was giving me their culture and how they do things. And so the story is, we're driving down the road, I'm taking him to see a branch, and this is just their culture, is that they're big on name tags. And so everybody wears a name tag, the chairman on down, and it works for them. And so I'm driving down 35, and I turned to this guy and I said, "So what you want me to do is get up every morning and be really excited about putting on that name tag and just be, you know, all gung-ho about what we're doing here." And he goes, "Yes, you're finally getting it." And I turned to him respectfully and I said, "I got to tell you, I hate name tags." And so at that point in time, I was like, "All right, I got to do something different." And again, they're a great bank. It's just not who I am. And so I left and went to my wife and said, "Honey, I think I'm going to do this again." I didn't want to do it. I'd done it twice before and I knew what the work was involved. And she says, "So let me get this straight. We're leaving a really solid bank and you have a really good salary, and we're kind of doing pretty well here, and you're leaving and you don't have anything, nothing?" I said, "Yeah, that's what we're doing." And so, and she is a great wife, and she said, "All right, I'm all in. Tell me what I need to do."
So something as simple as a culture change without wearing a name tag caused you to move in the direction of the bank. How much time did you spend coming up with the name of the bank? Because I did some research on what it is. I'll let you tell everybody what Veritex means, but did you spend some time coming up with that?
Absolutely. The very first thing we did was we wanted to come up with a website. And so we searched the website and banks, you know, integrity and something that's strong and a pillar in the community. And so we went through all these words. I searched, we couldn't find any. There was nothing out there. All the domains were taken. So I was working with this attorney, and this guy was an inside guy. He doesn't get out much. He's kind of behind the scenes. And so we were working on different things, and he emailed me late one night, and he says, "Have you thought about Veritex?" And I said, "Veritex? Why would I?" He says, "Listen, we're not going to come up with one of the names you want. We got to make one up." And I said, "Okay." So I slept on it, and I woke up the next day, and I said, "You know what? That's fascinating, because I got Veritex, which is short for Veritas, which means truth in Latin, and Texas." So I built my tagline, "Truth in Texas Banking." It was genius. Now, I do have to explain to a lot of people what Veritex means, but that's okay. It gives me an entry in to tell them about who we are.
Well, everybody needs a good elevator speech anyway, so right. That's your elevator speech that does that. Well, you have been extremely successful. I read that your deposits are up about 15% this year. You're apparently doing something right.
Yeah, and actually, with the numbers that just came out, it's even higher than that. So we, you know, how we differentiate ourselves, because we've gone from zero in 09, and we actually closed the first bank in September of 10. So our three-year birthday here is in September, a couple of months away. And to go to $600 million, you know, I take that standard old relationship tagline, which everybody – it's extremely overused and people throw it out there, but I mean, we live it at our place. I mean, we've got cell phones on our business cards. You can call at home. You can contact any of my guys. We don't have any 1-800 numbers. That's just who we are. So we build relationships and really do. We go to, you know, I go to clients' kids' soccer games and invest in what they do as they do in my family. And so it's a, We breed that from the top, and it permeates through the system.
So apparently, as I call it, customer service is the foundation for Veritex Bank. I want to continue probing that with Malcolm Holland, who is the CEO, chairman of the board of Veritex Community Bank and Veritex Holdings. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to continue talking about money when we come back right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to.
With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. And our guest in this first segment is Malcolm Holland. He is the chairman of the board of Veritex Community Bank. He is also president. And if you want to follow with this, you can go to the website, which is veritexbank.com. That's veritexbank.com. We talked about where Malcolm came up with the name in the first segment. If you miss that, you'll need to call him and ask him yourself, because he will definitely let you know about that. You've been doing extremely well. We were talking before the break about how much your deposits have increased and the service you have. Now, was that something you thought of before you started the bank, or that just happened as you began the bank and taking care of the customers?
Yeah, no, that's been kind of my mantra for 31 years. That's I learned from some guys early on in the trade that without clients, we really don't have anything. And so they were number one. And so I've always been and professed at a real high service level. And then my executive staff have the same thought. And so if you don't have great service levels, expectations at the top of the house, it won't permeate the system. And so all of my folks believe in that. And so it's something that we've refined and we try to do get better over the years. But it's been with me personally for quite some time.
Well, in this day and age with the internet and being able to access your bank without having to physically go to the location, location isn't as important as it used to be, though there is a lot of importance there. So it's how you take care of me, the customer, because all banks have the same things for all intents and purposes. It's a service that you give me. Right. And it sounds like that's the focus of Aritex.
Correct. I mean, I tell our folks every day, I said, listen, my money is just as green as the three banks on the other corners. And so we have to do something different. And so that service level has to be different. And so the hardest thing to sell is yourself. And we spend a lot of time working on that because our rates are about the same and our products are about the same. So I don't really have too much that I can differentiate myself at the community bank space with any of the others, other than I'm on the other line. My lenders are on the other line. That's what you get. And it's better than what the other guys are.
So it comes down to the people.
Absolutely.
You began Veritex Holdings in October 2009. It took about a year before you acquired your first bank. You now have 9. How large are you going to be?
Well, that remains to be seen. We're probably a little bit ahead of where I thought we would be. You know, we've purchased 3 banks, and I purchased them all within 16 months of the first one. And so we've jammed a bunch of banks together, and I kind of ran my staff a little ragged. And they asked me, would you just keep your foot off the pedal for a while? And so we did that. But we're back looking. We've looked at several. How big do we want to be? You know, in 9 and 10, when I started, the number was $1 billion. That was kind of a relevant number in terms of assets. Well, I think that number has changed. I think it's $1.5 billion, maybe $2 billion, maybe more. So it keeps running, and so we're still trying to catch it. But we're going to continue to look at acquisitions. But if we don't get acquisitions, we have a great plan to grow organically, and we've almost double the size of the assets that we've bought organically, which is quite remarkable in the short period that we've done that. And we've had a data conversion, and we've had 3 de novo branches that we've opened. So it's been a busy 3 years. So with the last 6 months, we've kind of catching our breath a little bit.
To have increased your deposits with what you have, you've doubled that. It had to have been the people. We talked about that a little while ago. Somebody knows how to hire very well for you. Apparently, you started some of the hiring, but you've put some good people in place.
Yeah, I mean, you said it yourself just a second ago. It is all about the people. And, you know, I have customer-facing people and non-customer-facing people. And a lot of folks put so much emphasis on the customer-facing people, which you need to. But those non-customer-facing folks are really, really, really important. And so we hire probably above pay grades, because we know where we're headed and where we want to grow to. And, the theory has worked very well. We have very, very little turnover. I mean, we have 120 employees, and, inside the retail branches, I would doubt that we lose 1 or 2 people a year. It's been, and most of my folks that are here with me have been with me for over 10 years.
And that says a lot, too, is you've obviously developed some relationships in your banking business. We've been talking about all the good things about Veritex Bank and Malcolm Holland. Tell us about a setback you had, something that hit you that caused you to kind of go in the direction you're in right now.
You know, in my business, it's highly regulated. And so there's this force in Washington that makes rules from time to time or all the time that I can't control. And so I, you know, when I was raising the money for the bank, everybody said, all right, what's going to be your biggest issue? And I said, my biggest issue is the unknown regulatory burden. And so, you know, we had some of those starting out. And there were some really, really tough stretches getting the bank going and getting opened and dealing with Washington. That's who we are. I've said, you know, there are a lot of banks are complaining and about different things regulatory wise. I've told my folks, I said, listen, let's play this different. Let's play this to our positive. Everyone else is going to complain and bellyache about having to do things. I said, I'm going to beef up my, and this is where I go back to the non-client facing folks behind the door. Let's be really good at that. And then these other banks that don't want to play this game anymore are going to come to us and go, hey, why don't we join that team over there? And so it's worked. It's worked. But the regulatory burden is, it's a burden, but it's the business. I mean, that's what I do, and it's okay.
And it's a level playing field because all banks have to go through the same thing. As a entrepreneur, as a business person, we have a number of those listening. What advice would you give them after having started your own business, being in business basically about 3 years, three plus years? What advice would you have for someone that wants to be in business for themselves?
Don't look at what could possibly go wrong, because a lot of people focus on the negative. Because if I would have done that in the regulatory, I probably would have jumped out of the race early on. But look at what could go right. Look at how things, you know, is it being an optimist? Maybe, but it's probably being more of a realist. And, you know, I can't tell. Just chase your dreams. You only got a couple of shots at this thing. And if you're passionate about it, don't be scared of that thing that could go wrong. That keeps a lot of people out of the game, which I guess is okay, because us that are looking at the positive side. But, you know, if you got a great idea, just give it all you got. I mean, really, what do you have to lose?
Sometimes putting too much thought into it comes up with all the negatives, and that holds you back right there.
Yeah, overthinking it. That's a great way. You just overthink the deal? No, just get out there and make it happen. You can do it. If you're passionate about it and you believe in it, most times you're going to be successful.
What took you about a year from beginning your holding company till your first bank was in existence? Did you spend the entire year selling, raising the capital?
Yeah, that was, if someone were to say, what was the most difficult thing in starting this business, was raising the capital. I mean, we've ended up raising about $60 million, and I didn't hire an investment banking firm. I didn't hire anybody. It was, you know, me and a tote board, and I'd run out there, and we literally did a tote board at the office with three of us that we come back and we get to fill in and go, hey, we got into a little bit more, and we had to get to our goal. But that was probably the most difficult, is raising the money. And so we just did it one brick at a time, and we got there.
Malcolm Holland is the chairman of the board, CEO and president of Veritex Community Bank and Veritex Holdings. Thank you very much for being with us, Malcolm.
Thanks, Dan.
And for telling your story. You can check Veritex Bank out at veritexbank.com. Check all of their nine locations. Check their website. You'll find everything else you need to know about the bank. Stay with us. We have another guest, and we're going to talk about something that I enjoy as often as possible, and that's yogurt. Dan Kim, the founder of Red Mango, is going to be joining us. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Be back right after this.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of eight key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
News and information.
The horseback riders who spotted accused kidnapper and murderer James DiMaggio are speaking out. Mark John was part of a group of four on horseback near Cascade, Idaho, when they spotted DiMaggio and missing teenager Hannah Anderson in a wilderness area.
There was just
like a square peg going into a round hole. They didn't fit. He might have been an outdoorsman in California, but he was not an outdoorsman in Idaho, and he didn't fit.
John called authorities. Anderson was rescued and was to be reunited with family members. DiMaggio was killed. Allied military officials in Afghanistan say three Allied personnel were killed in the eastern part of the country where troops from various nations serve, officials not providing any details of how the three were killed. A Burlington Northern Santa Fe freight train was derailed or has derailed north of Winoka, Oklahoma. No word of anyone being hurt. Officials say as many as 30 cars went off the tracks. The nearly two-mile-long train was carrying a variety of commercial freight. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel, including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
Is your company looking for great people? Then make sure to be a part of the Putting Texans Back to Work Job Fair, September 25th at the Arlington Convention Center. With promotion from 6 Cumulus radio stations reaching millions of adults, this is your chance to meet over 6,000 job seekers. Don't miss out. Learn how you can participate by calling 972-708-4252. The Putting Texans Back to Work Job Fair, September 25th. Call 972-708-4252.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
How long does it take for you to get to work? However long, we'll give you more news during your commute than KRLD. More stories, more news on News and Information 570 KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Again, I'm Steve Klein, and our guest this segment is a fellow that's into yogurt. His name is Dan Kim. He's a founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango. Dan is a true entrepreneur, taking an idea and turning it into one of the fastest-growing frozen yogurt and smoothie chains in America. Red Mango currently is the number one mobile restaurant brand in the country and the number two restaurant brand overall in the National Restaurant Social Media Index, second only to Starbucks. After thousands of recipe trials in his own kitchen, Dan perfected a healthy, all-natural frozen yogurt recipe in 2006 that has become the cornerstone of a growing empire today known as Red Mango. As the founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango, Dan has been instrumental in building the Red Mango brand from coast to coast, creating a restaurant system that spans North America with more than 240 locations in the U.S. and stores now open in Mexico, El Salvador, and Uruguay. Dan, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You started this business 7 years ago. Why and how did you get into what's called the Froyo business?
The Froyo business. Well, I grew up and lived in California all my life, and Los Angeles was and remains to be one of the meccas of frozen yogurt. So I've just been around it a lot, and I've kind of seen the industry evolve. I've always been interested in it, and you know, that was the primary reason was just because I was in Los Angeles and a frequent customer. But also, I grew up with yogurt. It's something that's very popular in a lot of cultures outside of the United States, in Asia in particular. And there's a long history to why yogurt's good for you, and it's something that's always been part of my life. So it was a very natural transition to get into the business.
You spent a lot of time developing the recipe. What were you looking for? Was it something? Was it a flavor? Was it the ingredients? What was causing you to spend so much time coming up with that recipe for Red Mango?
Ironically, I was trying to simplify the flavor of frozen yogurt and try to make it taste like the kind of yogurt that we ate at home. You know, we often go to the grocery store and buy the refrigerated yogurts, and you know, those are the ones that kind of, you know, taste like yogurt. It's tart. It's, you know, made with milk. But then when you crossed over to frozen yogurt, you kind of got this thing that was more of a soft serve ice cream. I just thought it ironic because people were, you know, eating that because it had the word yogurt in it, yet it tasted nothing like real yogurt. So that was really the motivation for me to not only get into it, but just spend so much time in trying to simplify a food that's been around for a long time.
As you were doing that, did you come up with a name of Red Mango, or did that happen after you developed the formula?
It was after the formula, and you know, the number one goal was how do you make yogurt? I mean, I had no background in making yogurt. So a lot of that research came on, you know, Google and just kind of asking people how that's been done. So the primary focus is let's make a great product that tastes awesome, and then develop an identity and personality around it.
Well, you went to school and grew up in the West Coast in California, Northern and Southern California. How did you end up with a company now based here in Dallas?
So, you know, California, Los Angeles, you know, is my hometown, and you know, I still consider it my hometown. But when we were growing, expanding, we went out and seeked investment from private equity groups, and the one that liked us the most and we liked the most happened to be based in Dallas. So, and with that came not only the money, but a lot of experience, a lot of board members and managers who had a lot of restaurant experience. And that's how we kind of became a Dallas-based company from LA.
So where the name Red Mango come from?
Well, believe it or not, the word, the mango is one of the most popular fruits across the world. People think it's bananas or oranges. It's actually the mango, and it's culturally universal. And the color red actually represents things that were and remain important to me and the company, life and love and passion. So, and without putting that together, was a very memorable way to kind of personify what we wanted to do with yogurt.
So there's no such thing as a red mango other than the stores that you operate.
Well, there is a sense that, yeah, well, the mango ripens from green to yellow, and during that process, it actually turns red for a certain amount of time, and there's some red patches of, in a perfectly ripe mango, but again, it's all about that, the transition towards something that's healthy, that's, you know, that's good for you, and we think that name captures that perfectly.
Well, you're coast to coast now. How many locations do you have in the Dallas area?
I think in the Dallas area, DFW area, I think we have about 5 locations. In Texas, I think we have about 10. A lot of our stores now, you know, we're expanding throughout the Midwest. We have a lot of stores on the East Coast. We're just looking for areas where people are really accepting of healthier eating for both meals and desserts. And Red Mango, you know, gives you exactly that.
Well, I haven't experienced all of your locations in Dallas-Fort Worth, but I did it, as we were talking earlier, in Plano, Legacy Parkway, and the toll road. And the one thing that I noticed outside of the flavor of your yogurt was the customer service. We talked about that earlier in our first segment, so I don't know if that's been a part of your culture to do that, but there's a lot of yogurt stores out there. There's lots of places to get a dessert. Have you implemented customer service into the culture of your company?
We have. We have a unique business model in that we have both a full service model where we make the yogurt for you, but the majority of our stores are self-service models where customer comes in and grabs a cup and makes their own yogurt. And that can often lend itself to a retail environment where the employees don't get engaged with the customer because it's do it yourself. So we make it a point to really focus on customer engagement and creating that experience that really matches the reason why people are coming for frozen yogurt.
And I did notice that the one young lady that was in the store gave great customer service and their interaction with me. But it's scary going in the self-serve because you take that cup, you begin to put yogurt in there, and you don't know exactly how much you're going to be getting because you want to get as much as you can.
Right.
But it's a great experience. One thing I noticed on your walls, and I also received it from you, is your chart that says Rethink Yogurt, and you're comparing Red Mango with the other guys. How'd you come up with that, or why did you come up with that?
Well, we wanted to be very, very direct with our consumers, and we're very honest, and you know, we really believe in transparency. The Rethink Yogurt campaign was something that just came out of something that we were interested in doing. We just wanted to reinvent yogurt, and comparing it to what's out there, we wanted to educate the customer on why we're different, why we're better, not by necessarily talking negatively about the competition, but what makes us unique, what makes Red Mango special.
Well, without talking about the other guys, as it says in the Rethink Yogurt, Red Mango is 100% all natural, non-fat, around 100 calories, and the probiotics, you have a name for that. What do you call that?
Call it superbiotics.
Okay. And tell us why probiotics is a big part of it. I've heard the word for a long time. What is it? What are probiotics?
So everyone's heard of antibiotics, right? Because it's something you take when you're sick, and what it does is it basically kills all the cells and germs in your body. Well, probiotics is kind of the exact opposite of that. It's actually cells that are good for you. So it means for life, you know, in Latin. And it actually represents bacteria in your body that actually does positive things as opposed to negative things. People typically think bacteria only do horrible things. Well, there's actually more positive bacteria in our body, especially in our stomachs. Probiotics is a term that reflects and represents that. And one of the important things about probiotics that everyone should know about is it's responsible for our digestive health and our immune system. So it's a very important thing that we should all be aware of and consume on a regular basis.
So not having yogurt isn't necessarily going to hurt you, but enjoying yogurt is going to help you tremendously, especially your digestive system.
Absolutely, especially if you're on an antibiotic regimen. You know, immediately afterwards, you should go eat a lot of yogurt to get that good bacteria back into your system.
So if a person has gone to the doctor, have had surgery or some disease, and they're on antibiotics, it's good to get the yogurt.
A lot of doctors will actually recommend getting real probiotic yogurt.
There's a good reason right there to go to Red Mango. We're talking with Dan Kim. Dan is the founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango. You can check their website out. It's redmangousa.com. And there's a lot. If you want to learn about yogurt, go to redmangousa.com. You'll find out everything you want to know. Stay with us. We're going to continue talking with Dan about the products that he sells at Red Mango, because it's more than just yogurt. Stay with us. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and we'll be back right after this.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of eight key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. You can always check out our website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com, to get information about our current guests, which are Malcolm Holland and Dan Kim this week. And also check our archives for past shows, give you a chance to listen to any show that you might have missed. And we're talking with Dan Kim. He is the founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango. And Dan, I need to ask you, what is a chief concept officer?
That's a good question, because I ask myself that question every now and then. When
did you come up with it?
We did as a team, because with a professional management team, there's people that do development and marketing and finance. At the beginning of a company, I kind of did a lot of that, and now that we're a legitimate company, I have to kind of identify what my skills are. I manage a lot of the product development, going out there and understanding what the customers want, and a lot of the marketing. So it's really consumer facing. It's looking into the future. It's developing products that are unique to the brand. And it's, I love it. It's what drives me. It's what makes me passionate about what I do.
So do you go out to the competition and spend time sampling their product?
I do. I probably spend more money on other people's products than my own, just because I want to kind of see what's going on. And I'm just very curious, and there's a lot of smart people out there, and I just want to taste what they've kind of come up with.
Well, there's no other way to know what your competition has unless you're sampling their product.
Absolutely, and it's a tough thing to do, eating other people's yogurt and smoothies, but someone's got to do it, and it's me.
Now, does that include retail stores plus the frozen yogurt in the stores and the non-frozen yogurt?
I have a lot of Ben and Jerry's in my refrigerator, everything. I taste them all.
Well, if nothing else, Dan, you must be one of the most healthful people I've talked to, with all the probiotics going through your body.
I hope so.
Well, you have a number of different items you sell there besides yogurt. Tell us about some of the items that are popular.
Well, we decided a couple years ago to get into the smoothie business. We saw a big opportunity to really do something special with smoothies. It hasn't changed in 10 years. The recipe of frozen fruit and ice cream or sherbet mixed with juice just... it wasn't something that I thought would kind of last. So, we also had a lot of fresh fruit in our stores. So we kind of, thought about how well we can enter the smoothie market. And we went in with a formula that's unique. We weren't going to use frozen fruit. We used fresh fruit. And we had yogurt, which a lot of companies, had a hard time getting into their system. So fresh fruit, yogurt, and ice, no juice, no added sugars. And using stevia, an ingredient, a sweetener that's more advanced in terms of nutraceutical values. And it really worked. So that's probably our second most popular menu item right now, smoothies.
So you use stevia. There's no sugar, no added sugar. And you're getting the sweetness from the stevia, which is a natural product rather than the sugar.
Well, there is sugar in yogurt from milk.
But you're not adding more with the...
Correct. We're sweetening it with stevia just to give it that balance.
Well, I noticed that a lot of companies have gone to smoothies, that companies that have other type of offerings too. So yours differs because your base is yogurt, and most of them aren't. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So it tastes a little bit different. You also have something called mashups?
Yeah, so I'm a big music person, junkie. I love, having grown up in LA, I kind of listen to everything, and I love mashups, which is when two songs are combined to create a new one. So we kind of followed that model with yogurt, and what we did was we took frozen yogurt and we kind of mixed it up with things that aren't necessarily considered healthy, but fun, you know. So red velvet cake, for example, or a birthday cake, and we kind of just blend it together and mash it up, and we call it Froyo Mashups, and people love it because it gives them license to have a healthy product, our yogurt, but also cheat a little bit and, you know, have that experience be very unique and special.
Well, you've given me another reason to go back to the closest one to me is in Plano. So you've given me another reason to go. I need to taste a mashup. I have not had that before. You also have parfaits, sorbetos, coffee chillers, so a lot of different products.
Yeah. Parfaits are very popular, especially at the airport. We have several locations at DFW Airport, and that's our number one selling product. Very portable, very nutritious. And we do have a non-dairy option that we're calling skinny sorbetos. A lot of people who have dairy allergies, for example, our skinny sorbetos are very popular.
You mentioned airports. How many airports are you in right now?
You know, I think we're in over about 10 or 12. I've lost track.
That can be a good thing too.
It is. And we have a team kind of managing licensed locations now, which is great.
Well, let's talk about growth for Red Mango. And again, if you want to check it out, it's redmangousa.com. Your growth, my guess, is through franchising.
Yes.
What does it take to become a franchisee of Red Mango?
Well, you know, our franchisees love our brand. The first thing
you better enjoy yogurt.
You have to enjoy yogurt. But more important to us, you know, than just enjoying yogurt is being, you know, part of our brand and really understanding what we stand for. So a lot of our franchisees are passionate. Obviously, they have a lot of retail experience, food experience, and a lot of them are business folks, executives who no longer want to work for other people and want to create their own jobs. And kind of do something on their own. And we, you know, franchising, especially with Red Mango, is a perfect platform for that because of all the support that we provide.
Are most of your locations franchised?
All of them are.
All of them are, so 100%.
Yes.
So to become a franchisee, would it be, I'm looking at your website, it says franchise. Should they go to that tab and simply contact your office, your company?
Yeah, it's on our website under franchising. We also have a short URL called redisreal.com. They can visit, and there's a lot of information there that would be very helpful.
So the person that generally gets into Red Mango, have they had a restaurant of some kind in the past, or they had a little background in the restaurant business?
Not necessarily. The common theme across all our franchisees is they love the product, they love the brand. Some have retail experience outside of restaurants. Others just have marketing experience. So we, you know, have a nice mix of backgrounds, but we make sure that we provide the adequate training that everyone needs to really go out there and run a restaurant that people are going to fall in love with.
Well, rewinding back a little bit, you started this brand the restaurant in 2006. Prior to that, you spent some time formulating the formula. Did you just open up a retail location to try this out?
We did. And, you know, Los Angeles was that location, and it was a safe location because of how popular frozen yogurt was.
Where'd you go from there? Did you open up a number of others or begin to franchise from there?
We opened, the first couple we opened were company-owned, company-operated stores, and we wanted to make sure that the concept worked outside of Los Angeles. So we opened one in Seattle, which is a very foodie town, and one in New York, which is a very discriminating town.
Oh, you went to complete opposites then.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it worked all over the country and not just in the West Coast. And then we followed up with a location in Chicago, and they all had a very, very good traction, very good reception. And it just gave us the confidence, gave investors the confidence to really make this into a franchise model.
Well, once you have a great product, I would think that the success behind it is location, location, location.
Number one, it's location. You know, people always talk about how great their brands are, their products are, but you got to have that location. And we've learned how important it is. And it's one of the things that we've become good at is selecting good locations for our franchisees.
Well, the one you have, again, Legacy Parkway in Plano, it's right amidst all the other restaurants right there. So it gives somebody a chance to get some dessert if they've had that big meal.
Yeah, we love being in areas where there's other things to do. Movies and other restaurants are just right up the alley.
Well, you started your business a few years ago, and you've had a lot of success. Did you have anybody you looked up to that was kind of a mentor to you, either somebody you knew or kind of focused on that helped you determine the growth or the path that you were going on?
Well, yeah. And in fact, it's our chairman of the board who actually led the investment and who I met. His name is John Antiocco. He actually was the CEO of Blockbuster for about 10 years, and he actually departed Blockbuster at the same time I opened the first store in July 2007. And somehow through mutual friends, we connected, and he just was very instrumental in teaching me about retail and growth and franchising. And, you know, he still remains a mentor to me.
Well, you were going to something totally blind. You knew the product, but really didn't know retail at that point, did you?
Yeah, I didn't know retail. I didn't know a lot of things about growing a business. I was just very good at developing a good product. So John and his team were very critical to transforming Red Mango into an actual business.
So you've been doing this about 7 years. What kind of hard lessons you had to learn as you were doing this that you didn't realize were going to happen once you became an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, the competition's been very tough. This is one of the most competitive industries that I've ever been in, and I think others have
yogurt or restaurant business?
Yogurt and smoothies in particular, yeah. It's just been really popular over the past couple of years. So, you know, having to manage that and really cut through the clutter and do things that consumers are going to remember has been a very big challenge. It's one of the reasons why we developed superbiotics, you know, our term for probiotics, because we just couldn't cut through the clutter with other terms. Once we brought superheroes into the mix and superbiotics into the mix, people kind of listened to what we had to say, and it was fun.
Well, it's all about the brand. You need to have a good product, but if people can't get to you and know who you are, it doesn't matter at all.
Branding is incredibly important, and more so today than I would say 10 years ago. There's so much emotional value and trust that consumers look for in brands, and that's one thing that we're good at is establishing that relationship with consumers.
I'm looking at the visor that you're wearing. You can't see this on radio, but Dan does have a visor on with the Red Mango logo, which is it's a mango.
It's a silhouette of a mango. Yes.
Was that something you came up with, or did your as a group come up with that?
Everything we do is as a team, and it's something that you know, really sticks in people's minds.
Have you decided where you're going with all this? You said you're chief concept officer. You're coming up with ideas with products. And I would think that's something you have to continue to look at. What can we bring that's new into the business? Customers are always looking for that. Where are you going from here?
You know, we always look for opportunities to elevate experiences, elevate food products that you know need refreshing. So, you know, we're currently looking at a number of other options outside of yogurt and smoothies. We're particularly interested in juices right now. We see a big rise in juicing. So it's something that I've been spending a lot of time on recently.
So my guess is everything you're looking at is going to be in the health area, something that's healthy and or good for you.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be the most important thing that consumers look for in food and food and business.
Dan, thank you very much for being with us on Playmakers Talk Show and talking about yogurt. And my guess is some of the people listening are probably going to run out right away and go to Red Mango, which I'm sure you want.
Sure hope so.
Dan Kim, founder and chief concept officer of Red Mango. You can check their website out at redmangousa.com. You can check all about their products. And even if you have interest in franchising, you can check that out too. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Again, you can check out our guests on our website, playmakerstalkshow.com. Go to the archive, hear the past shows, and stay connected with us. We will be back next week, same time, with more great guests that are Playmakers. Look forward to seeing you then.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer gives a fast, accurate temperature reading with just a gentle forehead scan and is used and recommended by more medical professionals everywhere. Here's what a real Exergen customer had to say.
This is a wonderful product. When I was in the hospital having my baby, the nurses used one to take my temperature, so I decided to get one. It's a fantastic product. I recommend everyone.
Backed by over 50 published medical studies, more than any other thermometer, know you're getting the best. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel, including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
News and information 570 AM.
96.3 FM HD2. KLIF Dallas. KSES FM HD2 Fort Worth. KLIF.com.